B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening across Canada on TSN Sports Radio, including Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, Hamilton, Winnipeg, and Edmonton. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check out the latest in the biggest esports leagues. Plus, we're going to make a list of the top 15 barbecue foods. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. Fyter Fest 2019 happened as a part of CEO, and don't worry, we're going to get to talking about CEO here in just a second, but this was one of, and Norris, I've actually been quoting you the entire time. I've been saying that it was a convergent event because we saw wrestling and esports collide, and that's what CEO as an event is famous for, but man, was all eyes on Daytona and AEW making their debut out at CEO with Fyter Fest.
Yeah, totally, man. And here's the thing. Alex Jabaley, the CEO of CEO, if you will.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Alex Jabaley, also known as the Jabated emote.
That's right.
He's, you know, been working on this and making that sort of convergence as CEO for a while now. He's done a partnership with New Japan Wrestling.
Right, that was last year. Yeah.
That was last year. However, Fyter Fest was basically a baby pay-per-view. It was it might as well have been a pay-per-view.
It was essentially a free AEW pay-per-view, yeah, which is notable because AEW has only done one other pay-per-view. And for anyone who is kind of curious about Fyter Fest, maybe you're mishearing us and thinking that we're saying Fyter Fest. We're not talking about the disaster that was Fyter Fest. This was very cleverly named, kind of taking a shot at that, Fyter Fest. Well,
yeah, but the branding was still on point and hilarious,
oh,
too,
because so
they had like the FEMA tents like on the entranceway when the wrestlers would walk in. They had like pools and dinghies.
It was phenomenal. So this was a very visible clash of the wrestling world and the esports world, specifically the fighting game community. Mm-hmm. And you know, you had mentioned before they had done this in the past with New Japan Pro Wrestling, but AEW, All Elite Wrestling, is the hottest ticket in wrestling right now. Like, this is a company that is looking to come up underneath WWE and unseat it for a really interesting product to watch, which hasn't happened since
the Monday Night Wars.
That's right, and WCW. So let's actually talk about the event itself, because we saw some pretty okay matches that opened up the event. I do have to say that Alex Jabaley in the ring was hilarious. That whole hardcore match that he wrestled, you know, he was supposed to do this the year before, but he had hurt his knee.
He had a knee issue.
And
yeah,
so they had to kind of like at the, you know, kind of last minute change it. But he actually really got to get in the ring, and it was really cool watching him able to do
that. He took a table spot. Like, does that. Yeah. You know, it's not often that somebody, you know, a regular civilian, if you will, is willing to put their body through that kind of punishment for any reason. So it was awesome to see him take sort of those big spots and yeah, really go in and train. And let's be honest, it's not like he was a professional, but at the same time, he was a lot more entertaining than I anticipated.
But I mean, taking the fight stick from Justin Wong to hit over the dude's head, like, it just, it was literally worlds colliding in that moment. Yeah. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening in Grand Rapids on KBBL Sports 107.3 FM and St. Joseph WSJM New Talk 94.9 FM in our home state of Michigan. We're currently talking about fight Fighter Fest and the crazy amount of convergence that went on at that one event. Some of these matches were legitimately impressive matches. I'm talking first about Cody Rhodes and
Darby Allin.
Darby Allin. I saw gifs of this, some of the spots of this match, long before I had actually sat down to watch it, including a coffin drop. I can't even believe this. A coffin drop right onto the side of the apron. Boy, did that look painful.
Well, it's worth noting that, you know, if you're a longtime WWE follower, there's about 30 moves or so that you get used to seeing in WWE.
It's true.
And it was nice seeing AEW and getting to see a whole, like, seeing destroyers being done, seeing brain
pile
busters.
Drivers.
Pile drivers.
I didn't see one European uppercut.
I was so impressed with the in-ring product, although I do have to say that unprotected headshot that Cody Rhodes took at the end of his
chair
match.
Shot. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I haven't seen one of those in about 10 years, and I forgot how horrible it is to watch and hear. Oh, yeah. I found, like, Cody sold it very well. I found myself really concerned for him.
Yeah.
But that was legitimately difficult to watch.
Well, that's the thing is it's been about, like you say, 10 years since we've seen a real unprotected chair shot happen. And having seen it, you know what? I'm not sure that I missed it.
No.
I feel like it's one of those things where, like, you say you missed it. You're like, oh, in my day, whatever.
Right.
And then you see it happen. You're like, maybe there's a reason we don't do that spot anymore,
yeah,
actually.
You know what? I'm pretty good with that. But, I mean, listen, it's Cody's product, so he gets to make those kind of calls, whether he's okay with that or not. And I don't know. I think that was a pretty dangerous thing to do. We got to talk about Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, this triple tag team match where, I'm sorry, everything seemed to be a video game reference, from the entrances to the Hadouken move in the middle of the ring. It was phenomenal the way these guys really kind of catered the entire match to really play towards the crowd that they were in front of.
Yeah, that whole match was about 20 minutes of fan service,
yes,
of a bunch of spot monkeys just getting in there and doing wild things. Yeah, the triple Hadouken, the triple power bomb. It was a whole lot of, like, fan service,
yes,
effectively. And you know what? I ate up every second
it
of
worked.
That match.
Like, that's the main thing about the whole Fighter Fest. Well, as an idea, not necessarily every match, but the idea of Fighter Fest, I think, played so well with that crowd. It played so well with all the reactions that I saw online. And I'm going to be honest, I want this to be a yearly thing.
Oh,
I want CEO and Fighter Fest to be something that happens every year.
Oh, right down to your jock character coming out and doing the classic "I used to push you nerds into lockers" like routine.
It's the cheapest heat in the world.
Absolutely, and it's so good. But, like, it's my all-time favorite heel character. It's nice to see that character still gets some play in 2019.
Well, oh, it's
it
hilarious.
Works so well there too. And I love Golden Boy's line halfway through where he's like, "Those terminologies don't really line up, but we'll let it go."
Golden Boy, that's such a great
thank
point.
You.
Yeah.
Yes, Boy, I'm man. So glad that you brought this up. The team of JR and Golden Boy, literally, again, convergence from the wrestling world and the esports world. I love these two together.
No, it's really great, and it's awesome to hear Golden Boy, like, you know, go, "Hey, that's a Street Fighter reference right there," and, like, JR just, you know, going on his usual rants. It's amazing to see those two worlds collide, and again, Fighter Fest to me was a huge success.
Huge success. And I had said when I had caught an episode of New Japan Pro, it was so nice to hear JR behind the mic. That's a huge appeal. If AEW is going to keep bringing JR back, I am definitely going to keep watching. What about you? Are you going to keep watching? Are you happy with Fighter Fest? Were you enthralled the entire time? What about that chair shot? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to make a list of the top 15 barbecue foods. And yes, there are some rules. It can't just be all main dishes. We got to have a main, a side, and a drink. That's coming up. That'll wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in on the biggest esports leagues. Rift Rivals was going down in the LCS. OWL had a big week. And CEO, of course, we got to talk about CEO. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
We'll be running down the latest in the biggest esports leagues here on Checkpoint XP. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 AM and 95.9 FM, as well as 103.9 in Lexington, Kentucky. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as a brand new studio that we're showing off. You can check it out. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. It's time to check in on the latest with the biggest esports leagues. We're going to start off with the LCS. Rift Rivals was going down over the weekend. Joe, I understand that Rift Rivals may be kind of like a pass weekend. Like, it's just, it's not.
I
there's a week to take a break.
Yeah. And it kind of is treated that way, maybe too often. I think with Rift Rivals, it was something that was interesting, like, the first year that it happened, because it's like, sure, oh, cool, we get to see our teams compete on an international stage again. Well, we don't get to see that very often.
Yeah, that's because we had no shot of even getting onto an international stage to begin with. That's why it was interesting.
So for those who don't know, Rift Rivals is a annual event where you have Europe facing off against North America. Top three teams in both regions get to go compete. And it did not go particularly well for North America.
As per, you know, usual.
Yeah, as one might expect, we lost a lot of games. The only bright spot was Team Liquid, who did get three wins, including two of them against G2 Esports, who handled them quite thoroughly at the Midseason Invitational. So that was nice to see, at least. The best part of the event, to me at least, was the show match that kicked everything off on Thursday, where you had some of the legends of North America and the legends of Europe kind of competing against each other. And I mean legends like Dyrus and Reginald. I guess they're kind of still legends. They were good for a time.
But I want to, like, why don't they do more of that? If Rift Rivals is something that everybody thinks is irrelevant, why not make it into sort of like an all-star weekend kind of thing?
See,
where you have show matches and that kind of stuff.
I'm totally with you on that, Norris. That seems like a much more interesting hook than, hey, here's the bad international teams, or, you know what I mean? Like, the teams that just have no shot of making it to an international stage, like, that to me is not fun to watch for anyone, because it's just, you're not even looking at a normal skill of play.
Right. I mean, so TSM, Cloud9, and Liquid are there representing North America, and yeah, Team Liquid played fairly well, and then TSM and C9 were pretty embarrassing, and which is weird to say for TSM and C9, they're usually so good. But if they want to make Rift Rivals relevant now, in an era where North America is starting to become competitive on the international scene, you need to either add some stakes to it, or I think you got to send teams that don't have a chance to actually go any other time.
Like,
I need to
MSI,
see, yeah, I need to see teams that I'm not going to get to see two other times a year on the international
maybe not
scene.
Maybe make it the NIT of League of Legends. Make it the Invitational of League of Legends, to where, yeah, the smaller teams get a chance to maybe play for some money.
Well, something needs to be done. Viewership usually struggles for Rift Rivals too, doesn't it?
I mean, it does okay, like, in comparison to LCS, but in comparison to, like, MSI or Worlds, no, it's a pretty steep drop off from there. So, they got to do something.
Let's switch our attention over to CEO. We were just talking about Fyter Fest, but of course we had a lot going down on the FGC side of things out at CEO. Now, Norris, I noticed, you know, when I was looking through the winners, I noticed a lot of names that I might have expected to see like 4 or 5 years ago. Where are the young cats at?
Yeah, I don't know, man, because the old dudes took over at CEO. I mean, you had wins from Bonchan, Justin Wong, Nee, Sonic
Fox. What did Justin Wong win in?
Samurai Showdown.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the old guys really stepped up. And speaking of Samurai Showdown, as much as I'm enjoying that game right now, I don't think it has enough names in it really to justify main stage. Honestly.
That's a bummer because you, I mean, leading up to the release of Samurai Showdown, you were geeked for this game come out.
The game itself is amazing, but I just think compared to especially games like Mortal Kombat 11,
sure.
Visually I can see how people aren't going to be into it, but I love it to death, but it's not quite there yet.
So
but
do you think like maybe the pool of players is just spread a little bit thin right now? We've got Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Smash, Tekken all running pretty strong.
It's that, and on top of that, you have a lot of people who are in Samurai Showdown who were not that good at all those other games looking to take advantage of a pretty thin player pool right now. I think if you look at this time next year, it should be a much more accurate representation of Samurai Showdown.
So CEO, you know, it's had this reputation building, especially in its region and nationally. But do you think with Fyter Fest and everything that went down at CEO, they've been making headlines for how spicy some of the crowd got? Do you think that it has risen to the level of like your Evos?
No, Evo is a special brand of, you know, hype and a special brand or a whole nother level compared to everything else. CEO, however, is the next closest thing. I think CEO has now solidified itself as essentially East Coast Evo. That's basically what it is. And CEO and Fyter Fest now have created something that people really will look forward to every year more than many of the other majors.
I gotta ask though, there was an actual fight at CEO this year, right?
Yeah, what happened? It was between a couple Smash players, unfortunately, and apparently there may have been some racial undertones in that as well, but apparently some folks met up in a bathroom, alcohol was involved, blows were exchanged.
Was Dr. Disrespect there? That's why we don't have footage of it.
Yeah. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. We got to shift our focus over to OWL, who, you know, last week they had an insane week. Robbie, what was this week looking like?
We still had, honestly, a few really cool headlines coming out of it. The Shock suffer their second loss now this stage, this time to the Chengdu Hunters, which, to their credit, are looking a lot better. You know, earlier on throughout the season, we kind of looked at them as one of the non-GOATs. You know, it was fun to watch them play, but they weren't really accomplishing a whole lot. And this time, they actually came out with a GOATs comp as well, and you know, went blow for blow with the Shocking in game five, ended up taking it.
Wow.
Another big surprise of the week, the Valiant full sweep the former champions, the London Spitfire.
What? London continues to look lost in this season.
Yeah.
Every time there's a big change or a big meta shift, it seems like London's one of the teams that take the longest to get used to the changes.
I mean, they also fell 4-0 to the Shock, which is less surprising, but two full sweeps in a week, it's not looking good for them.
Yikes.
The Titans, on the other hand, they perform very well against the Gladiators, which is another top team. Full swept them, and we even saw them finally changing up their GOATs. They went 4 DPS and 2 healers on one map, and the Gladiators didn't know what else to do except run away.
So we're getting close to the Stage 3 playoffs here. Who do we have that we're looking at getting to a playoff spot?
So New York just has to win 2 matches this coming week, which shouldn't be a problem for it, and that they're in. But Vancouver, Hangzhou, San Francisco, Seoul, the LA Valiant, and Houston have all clinched their spots. And that last one is going to go to either the Shanghai Dragons, who really only have to win one of their matches between Guangzhou or the Fusion to get in, or the Fusion, but they have a further way to go. They not only have to beat Shanghai, they have to hope that Shanghai loses and win their other match against the Washington, and do so with, honestly, I think they have to sweep both matches in order to get the match.
They do. They have to play pretty much the best matches that they've played all season long. And the thing is that Shanghai is just in the ascendancy right now. I really think that they're riding high, and they're going to be a team to clinch that last spot.
Who's going
to
get the nod?
Oh, it's probably going to be the Titans. I got to give it to the Titans.
Oof. You know what? Titans.
All right, well, we got to leave the discussion right there, but we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, it's July 3rd. Tomorrow, there's going to be a big 4th of July celebration all across the country. So we're going to talk about the top 15 barbecue foods of all time. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP Daily, and we're making a list. Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Make sure you're here all next week, because we're doing a grand studio opening. We've got guests, we've got stunts, we've got prizes. Make sure that you're here.
And a five-hour show.
That's right. 1 p.m. is the start time. twitch.tv/checkpointxp. It is just about the 4th of July. We're just one day short of the 4th of July.
But we ain't going to be here tomorrow.
That's right. So we don't have any podcasts that are going to be coming out tomorrow or on Friday.
But we are hungry.
We are I'm starving.
Yeah, I'm ready to eat.
I'm actually so hungry.
And it's about to get worse.
So we thought, like, we started talking about, like, foods that we're excited to be having over the 4th of July holiday. And then we started arguing about what the best thing to bring to a 4th of July holiday party is.
Or at least
is.
To consume at one.
Yeah.
Well, the correct answer is everything.
Yes. I mean, that's
yes.
true.
Fair.
There's some, you know what? There is some stuff that is unwelcome at a 4th of July. You ever had, like, that potato dish that uses marshmallows? What kind
what?
Of ungodly concoction is that?
No, I'm sorry,
oh,
what?
Like the sweet potato with the marshmallows casserole? On the
yep.
top?
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah,
bingo.
No,
pass.
No, thanks.
Hard pass.
Not pass
Nate,
on potato salad.
You tell Aunt Marcia she's not welcome.
There's one time a year you're allowed to have that, and it's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
You cannot bring that to a summer cookout.
Oh,
no.
God. Not even at Thanksgiving. There's no way. I'm not eating that. I'm not putting it in my body.
So we're going to make a list of the top 15 items to have at a 4th of July cookout. Everyone has to say one main dish, one side dish, and one drink. What are you having to drink? So you can't just, you know, triple up on main dishes.
That's fair.
All right, Nate, we're going to start with you. What are you bringing, and which slot is it filling?
All right, so I'm going to start with my main dish.
Okay, your main dish.
Okay.
Let's just all start with main
dish. Yeah, okay, yeah. I think that's a good place to start, right? So all right. Your main dish is obviously going to be the most important, and I thought a lot about this because, you know, if you go for steaks, listen, that's going to be a little bit filling. Nobody has room for sides. If you go with hot dogs, everyone's going to need like three or four hot dogs.
Okay.
Hamburgers, pretty good option, but a little bit pedestrian. I'm going to go with chicken. Barbecue chicken.
Ooh. All right.
Barbecue chicken, specifically made on the grill with lots, and I mean lots of marinade. Maybe 24 hours beforehand.
At least
24 hours beforehand. But yeah, I'm going to go with the barbecue chicken.
First of all, and this is all on a charcoal grill. Get that propane foolishness out of here.
Hank Hill would be so disappointed in you, Norris.
Don't care.
Damn
charcoal
it, Norris.
Only. And since we're using charcoal only, I'm going next. You got to have the ribs, baby.
Oh,
of course.
Ribs is a win.
You got to have the ribs, man.
Ribs with lots of prep time. No one likes dried out
but
ribs.
Are we talking rib tips? Are we talking
ribs?
No. Are we talking baby back? What are we talking
about? We're talking about the whole rib, okay? We're talking about, if you want to do the baby back, that's fine. We can do the baby back, all right? But we'll do the baby back. We need the whole rack. I need sauce and I need dry rub. I need both.
Ooh, okay. Wow. Ooh. Okay, you're adventurous. I like it. All right.
Robbie.
All right, I'm actually pretty simple when it comes to this, and I know, Nate, you just poo-pooed it a minute ago that you need too many of them, but that's never a problem around my house. Once you put my grandpa in front of the grill, he doesn't leave till the sun goes down. But I'm going to go with the hot dog. Or brats, any type of dog, really, that you can
sausage. Okay, I will accept brats. Mm-hmm. I will accept brats. I will not accept ballpark franks.
No, I agree.
Sorry.
Hot dog is a bit that's a bit too normal.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
But brats, hot sausage.
A spicy Italian sausage.
Yes.
You ever get the ones that are like injected with cheese in them already?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, that's not a thing.
No, thank you.
Okay, so
we
that I go for.
Oh, okay. I'm like, it exists.
We know whose house we're not going over, clearly.
Well, so Robbie just took my...
Stop shaming me!
I was going to go with the spicy Italian sausage because I think there is nothing better in this world.
It is good. Especially, you know, like if you're grilling them and you've got your beer and you're just pouring it on.
I'm so hungry now. I can't say that. I'm going to go with one of my all time favorite barbecue dishes. I need pulled pork. You get like the big tray of pulled pork.
You know what, Joe, coming from the country background, if you ain't raising it and slaughtering it yourself, it don't count.
Okay.
Does it still taste good? Because I'll still eat.
How many animals have you slaughtered, Robbie?
Growing up, I raised and slaughtered quite a few.
He's sick with the knife work,
so watch out.
All right. What's the chat saying we need to get here?
So I'm trying to pick out one that we have that we haven't already said, unfortunately. But we got a lot of hot dogs, and we got a lot of barbecue chicken and spicy. Here's the thing. Meat, I think, is one that most people will agree on.
Yeah.
It's the size where people really
start. Yeah, we're going to have some differentiation here. Yeah.
That's where we're really going to start seeing
I'm curious if there's someone in the chat who's maybe a vegetarian. Because I was a vegetarian.
I was going to say, Library Witch has mentioned grilled corn and other grilled
vegetables. Well, but that's a side. Yeah. That's a side. We're not there yet.
That's fair.
We're not there yet. But here's the thing is that, like, you know, when I was a vegetarian, barbecues were really difficult for me.
Oh, yeah.
Super difficult. So at least for me, what I used to like to make out on the grill were portobello mushrooms.
Well, here, decibels.
Grilled portobello mushrooms with a little bit of feta cheese in the top. So it's just started to melt into it. Oh, dude.
Decibels is
so
giving
delicious.
Us
A1 sauce on the top of it. Oh, it's a knockout.
Our first one from the chat that we haven't said yet, Decibel says barbecue brisket sandwiches.
Ooh, brisket.
Brisket.
Point.
Because that's about that the only time you eat brisket.
Yeah.
And Library Witch piping up saying that the vegetables don't have to be a side. But when you're meat eaters, Library Witch, they are.
They are. All right. Let's move over to side dishes.
Yeah, let's talk
Speaking
about sides.
Of that. All right,
let's
who wants to
side.
Go first?
We'll
it's
keep
back
it
around to me.
Yeah,
okay.
Next time.
Yeah. All right. Side dish.
Side dish for me. Now, normally, I am not a potato salad fan. Okay, but I've had a couple of potato salads that were made specifically.
Oh, look at Norris.
That I'm just and now I am a fan. So. I have some specifications, okay? It's got to have a lot of paprika,
okay,
and it's got to have red onions.
Mm-mm.
All right,
yes.
So I'm going to jump in here, too, because I also...
I need to defend Nate really quick for Norris. There's something you need to remember.
I'm white, you know? I'm white.
Continue,
okay.
Joe.
All right. Hang on. We stipulated when Robbie took over drop duty that he might earn drop master one day.
Right.
He had to bust up the room at least 10 times. You have put one on the board, sir.
That is, by the way, my one random drop of the day that's gone at the end of the day, and a new one's replacing it.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, I got to jump in, too, because, Nate, like you, I am not a potato salad fan.
Right.
I don't like potato salad. However,
it's gross.
It is. It's terrible. It's bland terrible. And it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This year, though.
Okay.
Right over at Ferndale Foods, not a stone's throw from here,
sure.
I discovered... deviled egg potato salad.
Ooh.
Double
which is
gross.
Ooh.
So delicious.
That sounds really good.
Triple gross.
I am eating it. Like, I bought 2 pounds of it earlier this week, and it's gone.
Geez.
Like, everyone in our house eats it. It's so
good. You know
what?
I think I need to change my answer. So you can have potato salad.
Hold on.
You can have potato
salad. Before you go, because I don't want you to go and take mine now. anytime it's anywhere, I will always go for it. Baked beans is my side.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely not going to go for baked beans.
Now,
baked beans is great.
With bacon chunks in it.
No, no. Listen, Library Witch took my original answer, which was grilled corn.
Grilled corn is good. It's a classic.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
Standard, inoffensive.
Corn on the cob. Everyone
almost nobody's
going
to say no to
totally.
It. Nah. Here's one I will say that is very controversial, and it's got to be made properly, or it ain't hitting. Coleslaw. Off the rip.
I hate coleslaw.
I love good coleslaw.
I thought it was garbage.
Off the rip. Good coleslaw. Because, listen, it's hot outside, and all of the hotness from the grill and all the other stuff, but a good coleslaw cools all the rest
of it. Let's chop up some cabbage, throw it into mayo, and go to town.
Well, first of all, Miracle Whip, number one. That's failure number one. Not mayo, Miracle Whip. Okay? But, yeah, I'm going to have to say coleslaw.
I love Sevo Kevo calling it cold slaw. That's
cold slaw.
That's amazing. I am going to officially change my side.
All right.
Off of potato salad. I'm going to yield that to you, Joe. And I have to change mine to my most recent food obsession, which started
blueberry muffins?
No, the one after that. The other one. That started as soon as it actually got hot out, which is pasta salad.
Pasta salad.
Italian pasta salad, red onions,
olive.
No.
You don't like olives?
No.
What's wrong with you?
No. Olive is a big fail. No. You can, so red onions, some broccoli, right? Like, you got to get it really fine, though. You can't have too much stalks on the broccoli. And then celery for some nice crunch in there. Oh, my God.
I'm ready. This sounds good.
Oh, my God.
And I guess we're going to take grilled corn from the chat because everyone likes corn on the cob. Delicious.
Carletta said pork and beans. That's a pretty good one.
Basically, what Robbie
it's close to what Robbie said, but the pork in there makes it.
Well, he said with bacon chunks, that's pork.
Oh, okay, I missed the bacon chunks.
Yeah,
okay.
we'll take the grilled corn. Now we're on to drinks because
I'm gonna go ahead and go first. Get out of the way because you guys put all your reasoning and stuff behind. Like I said, I'm simple. I'm just gonna take me an ice cold Coke.
Ugh, you're so boring.
No.
Coke is great.
All American brand right there.
Coke is
all American brand.
Use a basic bitch.
Coke is wonderful.
No, it's not. It's the most basic, most boring answer.
What? All right?
Flat out. We're at a barbecue. What do you need? You need beer. Flat out. Okay.
Well, that's
fair. You also feeding beer to the kids?
Yeah.
If it's a good barbecue, yeah.
Yes, all right,
but he didn't just say
No.
Pop.
If it's a good barbecue, there are no kids.
Fact.
Number one.
Hard fact.
Number one.
And while we're on it, leave your stupid kids at home.
Yeah.
If I invite you to a barbecue, specifically, if I invite you to a barbecue, do not bring your kids. Don't.
Oh, see, I think that's a cardinal sin, first of all.
Yeah.
Now, the only time I feel it's okay to bring your kids to something is if it is a massive family gathering.
All my barbecues have always been family gatherings.
Or if there's fireworks.
If there's fireworks, that's okay.
Fine.
But it has to be a
fireworks
family, family gathering, meaning you didn't have to be invited. You could just show up.
Fair enough.
That's fair. All right? I get that.
Now,
okay.
You said beer.
Yeah, beer.
Robbie didn't just say pop. He said a specific pop. So what beer?
Okay. We got to go with a wheat beer.
All right.
Okay. Me personally, I'm going to go with Hogarden with an orange slice in it. Okay.
Not bad.
Sounds that's where I'm going to go.
I could go for that right now, actually. That
that's where
great.
I'm
going
to go. Wheat beer. In the summertime, nothing beats wheat beer.
Joe, what about you?
Well, I only drink the official beer of eSports.
Oh, my God.
I can't even get through that.
God!
I can't even get through it without laughing. Absolutely not. That's
absolutely
disgusting. But I don't think there's anything better than a beer on a hot summer day.
Sure.
I'm gonna go with you know what? So if Guinness is my winter beer, I got to go with Killian's. I love red beer.
All right.
I need a Killian's.
All right.
So I am going to go. This is my everyday standby, but I also recognize it is a really popular summer drink.
This is the only time I'm going to say this is an acceptable drink.
This is an acceptable answer for now.
Arizona iced tea, Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, any Arnold Palmer in the summer, totally acceptable.
Yeah,
I understand that this is my own personal demon, my own monkey on my back
right.
that I've got to deal with now for the rest of my life.
Correct.
But I'm saying it legitimately is a very good summer drink.
Yeah, no, I mean, and really anything on like that whole spectrum of like lemonades and iced teas. Yeah, that's a perfectly acceptable answer.
And I like Lloyd from the chat's answer of a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
You know what? There's not a whole lot of times where it's super acceptable for anyone to drink a Mike's Hard Lemonade, but at a cookout...
Under most circumstances, I will be actively embarrassed if you catch me drinking a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Not at a barbecue.
Not
at a barbecue, especially if you're outdoors, because that is a very like good kind of thirst quenchy.
Very, very refreshing.
It is. That's fair. That's completely reasonable. So that's it.
That's our list of 15 most, the 15 best barbecue foods, including drinks, mains, sides. Does anyone need a Zima? Go away, decibels.
Zima? Where are you going to get a Zima?
Zima came back out.
They brought back Zima, yeah. I you know what?
Joe's like, I got to get on this right now.
Hang
on.
It was awful the first time.
It's funny because, you know, last year I was still producing for the Jell-O show at 105 on the Bounce. We got on this topic talking about Zimas and how Jell-O loves Zima. That was the first... The first drink. By the way, Jello will be here on Monday.
I'm so excited.
So make sure that
bless his chops. Did he drink a Zima?
Zima ass is not coming in this studio.
When I saw a six pack of Zima at the store, I of course bought it for him.
Reasonable.
Can we have a Zima ready for him when he comes up here on Monday?
Yes. Yes, we can.
We'd have to find it, but yes, of course. All right. Well, thanks for joining us for today. And of course, we always want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Please, everyone, have a fun and safe 4th of July. And make sure that you come back on Monday. Hang out with us. We're doing our grand opening of our brand new studios from Beasley XP. We've spent the entire week just kind of getting acclimated to the room, and now we're ready to show it off. Join us right here, 1 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/checkpointxp. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.